We are in a series right now that we're calling Kingdom of Me. You know what? I should take back something I said. I said this is a good problem. This is a good opportunity. Okay? So let's look at it that way, right?
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. So we're going to be in start off in 2 Timothy 3. As I mentioned, we are in a series called Kingdom of Me, and we've been looking at this passage of scripture in 2 Timothy 3 that Paul challenges. Specifically, he's talking to Timothy, but he challenges us as believers concerning some things that will be happening in the last days, and we've been looking at those different dynamics that we'll actually read through here in a second. But just to kind of quick recap, we started off by looking at lovers of self, and then we talked about being lovers of money. And then last week, Steve actually led us in looking at pride. And he walked through the story of King Uzziah, and painted a beautiful picture with that. And he gave a great challenge that how everything we do should be done to glorify God. Right? Every dynamic of who we are and everything that we do exists to glorify God. And how if we have that understanding and that mentality and that mindset, then the dynamic of pride really quickly goes away. He also made a great point. If you haven't heard the message, I would encourage you to go on our website and listen to it. But he made a great illustration about being in the body of Christ and how all of us have a part in the body of Christ, right? All of us function in different giftings and in different ways, but we all have a part in the body. And one of the things he mentioned was the dynamic of the lungs, right? And he talked about how the lungs are a part of the body, but you don't see them, right? And you kind of forget even when you're breathing, but the lungs are so necessary, right? If you didn't have your lungs, then you would die. Right? So he made a great point of how, you know, we can be prideful about, or I want that gifting, I want that position, I want that. But if we are who God has made us to be and gifted us to be, then if we're seen or not, then we'll actually fulfill a great part of the body. So that was last week. But this week, we are going to continue reading in this verse to see where we're going to pick up. So 2 Timothy 3. It says this, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. Okay? Avoid such people. So with this list here, we see many different areas of our lives. We see many different dynamics going on here. And what I would encourage you to do, because, you know, if we went through this whole list, this series would go for probably, about 3 months, right? We could spend at least a week on each of these things, maybe more, right? So what I would encourage you to do is actually take this passage home, get before the Lord yourself, and say, Lord, is there any of these things in my life, right? Is there any of these areas that you need to come and strip out of me, right? So I would encourage you to actually do that. But tonight, we are going to look at how he mentions being unholy. Okay, we're going to talk about holiness tonight. That's what we're going to look at. So with that, now turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we are going to start reading in verse 13. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 13. It says, therefore, preparing your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Okay, so stop right there for a moment. So Peter is basically, he's gearing up, he's about to say, hey guys, I'm telling you something serious. You need to listen up, you need to take heart, you need to, you know, prepare your minds for what we're about to talk about. And be sober-minded, be clear-headed. He says, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Now stop right there just so we understand. If you look at the very beginning of Peter, what Peter is writing to is a group of believers that are in exile. Okay, that they've basically been taken away. And it could be understood that possibly they were imprisoned or they were in chains, that kind of thing. But they were in exile. Now verse 18, it says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold. So what he's doing here, he's bridging a gap. He's saying, guys, you are physically in exile. You were bound. You were imprisoned. Okay? Now, just as you are imprisoned, you were imprisoned, right, to your ways of your forefathers. Okay? A futile ways that you inherited from your forefathers. Verse 19. But, and there's always a good but when it comes to Jesus. But with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot, he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. Let's pray. Father, we just come before you again. Lord, we love your word. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have given it to us to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, I pray now, Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you open our hearts? Would you open our minds to your word? God, I pray that just as Paul told Timothy that in the last days there would be people that were unholy, God, would you help us tonight to properly understand holiness, that we would be holy as you are holy. And God, just as Peter challenges us to put our hope and our trust in your grace, God, help us to do that tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So here we have Peter, through the inspiration of Holy Spirit, laying out a challenge to be holy. Okay? If you keep reading through chapter 2, you see really that the whole a good chunk of this book is about being holy. Okay? Being holy. So the question I want to ask tonight, what comes to mind when you hear the word holy? Just think about it. You don't necessarily have to answer out loud. When you hear the word holy, what comes to mind? Because it's important to understand holiness if we've been called to be holy, right? You know, does God come to mind? Does not sinning come to mind? You know, when you hear the word holy, does that mean not watching R-rated movies for you? Like, what does that mean? What does the word holy mean? It's important that we understand the basic definition of holiness so that we can properly be holy as Peter has challenged us to do so. So for those of you that like definitions, the word holy literally means set apart. Okay? The word holy means set apart. It means that this particular thing is recognized as holy, or something that's been recognized as holy. It's been reserved for something else, right? It's been set apart for something else. It is completely separate from everything else. Okay. For instance, like when it comes to Christmas decorations, right? Most of us do not keep our Christmas decorations around our house all year. Now, maybe some of us do. Maybe you like Christmas. That's totally cool. But most of us, right, we keep our Christmas decorations separate, right? Set apart from our other decorations. Most of the time, our Christmas decorations are put away in January, February, right? If you have been to my house, you know that my Christmas lights are still on my bushes. Haven't put them away yet. But for the most part, Christmas deck. I don't turn them on. Yes, there's actually a house next to us, like two doors down, that does. Anyways, for the most part, Christmas decorations are set apart for Christmas. Okay. So likewise, if with understanding holiness and being holy, these Christmas decorations are holy to Christmas. Do you guys see what I'm saying? They're set apart specifically for this holiday. So holiness, being holy, is this understanding of being set apart for something, being separate from everything else. So when we say that God is holy, okay, when we're talking about God and saying, God, you're so holy, because when we look in Scripture, we see the elders around his throne, and what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Okay? When we see that, right, what we're saying is that, God, you are set apart. We're saying, God, there is no one else like you. Right? We're saying, God, you are separate in thought, emotion, ways, and reaction. Like what one thing he said through the prophet Isaiah, he said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Right? So that's a dynamic of God's holiness, how he thinks separately than us. He thinks differently than us. His ways are much higher than our ways. Now, obviously, all of our thoughts and our emotions, since we're created in his image, we get those from him, right? But still, he is holy. He is separate. He is set apart. Okay, there is no one like him. Now, in a similar way, just as God is holy, when we follow after Jesus, we are made holy. Okay, we are made holy. We are set apart. God sets us apart for himself. So holiness for us means being set apart from everything and everyone else and being set apart to God. Okay? He has reserved us for himself. And that's important to understand. Okay? When we talk about holiness, he has reserved us for himself. So holiness isn't just set apart from sin and sinful ways. That's part of it. It's also being set apart to God. Okay? Do you guys see that? Because sometimes when we talk about holiness, we talk about not sinning. We talk about stopping sin. Okay? That's part of it. Okay, but we're also set apart to God. Okay? No longer are we reserved to or for sin. We are reserved to and for God. Okay, there's both dynamics to the holiness equation. Okay? So in this passage, we see a few things in reference to holiness that we're going to real quick walk through. We're gonna look at being not conformed. Okay? Not being conformed to our previous life. We're going to talk about just being holy, and we're going to talk about sincere brotherly love in context of being holy. So with that, verse 14, I'm going to read it again. It says this in this passage. It says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Okay? He says, don't be conformed to the passions of your former life. Okay? The former way you lived. And then also in verse 18, we saw how we were ransomed, right? We were ransomed from our sinful ways. Okay? We were ransomed from our sinful ways. So we are challenged here then to not be conformed to our past, meaning before we were in Christ. Right? So if you are here and you are in Christ, you have a relationship with Jesus, you've trusted your life, your heart to him, okay? Who you were before that moment, before that time, you are no longer that person. Okay? You are in Christ. Okay? The New Testament is clear. We are a new creation. Okay? The old is gone, the new has come. Right? We are a new person. We are not who we were. Okay? We are not who we were. So the challenge here is simply to stop living and thinking like we used to. Right? That's what Peter is saying. Don't be conformed how you used to live, how you used to think, how you used to operate. Okay? That has changed. Okay? Now, before Jesus, it's clear in Scripture that we were bound to sin. Right? It is clear, it is evidently clear that before Jesus, we were bound to sin. We were sinners. We were enslaved to sin and needed a Savior to set us free. We did whatever we wanted, whenever we wanted. we had a nice kingdom of me, right? We had built up a nice kingdom around ourselves. But because God loved us and didn't want to see our lives end in eternal destruction, and because God wanted to be in relationship with us, he sent Jesus, right? He sent Jesus to ransom us, to rescue us. Jesus came, took our place, paid the price for our sin, and made a way for us to walk free from sin and bondage. He made a way where there was no way, right? He made a way where there was no way. So now when we come to Jesus, we are set free from sin and its chains. We are no longer ruled by sin or Satan, but by Jesus. Okay? But by Jesus. We are now made saints because of Jesus' mercy and grace. So there's this shift, right? There's this complete 180-degree shift, right? We were going one way, Jesus saves us, we're now going a whole different direction. Okay? So that's why Peter is saying, guys, you're not who you were, so don't think like you used to. Don't live like you used to. Don't speak like you used to, okay? You're a completely different person. Peter here is saying, you're not who you were, okay? So don't go back to what you were. Don't go back to the sin that Jesus set you free from. We have been ransomed and bought with a price. And really, the words here Peter uses is, don't be conformed. Okay, so he's not just talking about sin necessarily. It's talking about literally how we operate, how we think, how we feel. All dynamics of our life shift because we are now in Christ. Okay? So it's not just don't do what you did. It's don't think as you thought. Don't feel as you felt. Don't identify as you identified. Why? Because in Christ, we have been set apart. We have been made holy. So Peter is saying here, because of this transformation, don't go back, right? Some of you are aware that Tom and Michelle, they live in the apartment that Hannah and I used to live in. Okay, now, it would be weird if I go back to that apartment, 1617, walk into the kitchen, open the fridge, grab a drink, go sit on the couch, play their Xbox. Do you have an Xbox? I think, yeah. You know, it would be weird if I did that, right? Because that's no longer my house. I no longer pay the rent at that place. I no longer identify with their address, right? Right? I've got my mail forwarding to my new address. That is not who I was, right? So in the same way with us, we no longer identify with who we used to be. So how this looks practically for our lives. Okay, just kind of throwing some things out there. You know, maybe before Christ, maybe before Jesus did a work in your life, maybe you were really condescending. Okay, we could talk about any sin in the book, right? We could talk about anything. But I'm saying, for instance, maybe you were just really condescending. All you ever did was, you know, negative and just dog on people and just speak death and, you know, just swear up and down, and that's all you ever did was that, right? But with this change, with Jesus changing our lives, right, now we're called to speak life, right? We're called to encourage people. We're called to love people with our words, right? We're speaking the truth in love, right? So there has to be a shift, right? Or maybe before Christ, maybe you were, you know, just hanging out with the guys and all you ever talked about was the ladies, right? You know, have you seen this lady? Have you seen that lady? And, you know, now talking about, you know, attractions, obviously that's not sin, right? But when it comes to, man, she, you know, and getting into the details and in your mind lusting, right? After the ladies, right? You're not who you were. Right? So, guys, we can't just sit around and talk about the ladies like they're objects, because they are not objects, right? They are daughters of God, right? So we can't do that, because we're not to be conformed to who we were, right? We're not to be conformed to who we were. So Peter tells us, you know, you can enter any sin, any situation in there. That was just a couple of examples, right? So Peter tells us, do not be conformed to the passions of our previous life. Why? Because we're no longer that person. Okay? So now on to be holy. He tells us to not be conformed. He says, but be holy. So verses 15 and 16, he says, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Okay? So he says, stop being who you were. Stop thinking like you were thinking. Now, be holy. Okay? Be holy. So Peter here lays out the challenge that because God is holy and we've been called into a relationship with him, then we are to be holy as well. You know, it's interesting to note that Peter doesn't just say here to act holy. Okay? Right? He doesn't just say act holy. He says rather we are to be holy. Right? There's a huge difference. Huge difference. It's really easy to fall into the trap of acting holy versus being holy. Right? Because that's where we get into the rules, right? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. And we start to think, well, I'm holy because I'm obeying that rule, when all the while our heart is still full of sin, still full of rebellion. You know, do you guys see what I'm saying? Like, we can throw up so many rules, but not have a heart shift, a heart change, and it doesn't matter what rules we keep, okay? And obviously, ultimately, that's why Jesus came, because we could not fulfill the law. You see, acting holy is when we put on a nice show of holiness. I'm not going to ask anyone to raise your hand, but I guarantee you every single one of us in this place have acted holy when really inside we were like, ah, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? If you don't, then we need to talk, okay? But acting holy is when we put on a nice show of holiness, maybe on Saturdays or Sundays, you know, but then on Monday we go back to living as we please. We put on our Kingdom of God costume when we get around other Christians, but then as soon as we're done, we take that off only to reveal the kingdom of me still lurking and ruling in our lives. We can put on the nicest show we want when it comes to acting holy, but in reality, if we are not being holy, like meaning heart change, being truly set apart, then our actions do not matter. Right? Our actions do not matter. You know, when thinking about this, I think it's interesting. The way people will act around me when they find out that I lead a church, or they find out I'm a Christian, you know, there's that switch that flips, right? And they'll be, you know, swearing, blankety blankety blah 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 blah, whatever, and then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, and then they start, you know, getting all flowery in their speech, and you know, all nice, and you know, I appreciate the respect, I really do. I appreciate the respect. I'm being genuine, but honestly, I would rather see who they are,
right?
Not put up this facade of fake holiness, okay? And that's what Jesus is called to, genuine holiness, not a facade, right? Not a costume. This is, Christianity is not a costume party, okay? It's not a costume party. You can quote me on that. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. If honestly, though, if you're putting on a nice holiness show, please stop. I'm serious. Please stop, because it's not doing anything but hurting you and hurting others, right? If we're putting on a nice show, it is hurting you and it's hurting others, right? As the YouTube video says, ain't nobody got time for that, right? And nobody got time for you playing holy, okay? When we throw up fake holiness, it really makes it hard for real holiness to be produced in our lives. Think about this for a minute. Okay. When we throw up fake holiness, it really makes it hard for real holiness to be produced in our lives. Why? Because we're trusting in ourselves and in the fake holiness that we're producing.
That's good.
And we even start believing the lie that we've created that we're okay. Right? We can flip that switch and think, oh, I'm okay. I'm good. You know, I got my nice Christian smile. You know? Just acting holy prevents God's holiness from being worked and produced in our lives. Why? Because we're fooling ourselves. We think we don't need God's help. We think we've got it figured out. And in reality, we don't, right? If we had it all figured out and all together, then Jesus didn't need to come, right? But the reality is, he did need to come, and we need him. We need Jesus. You know, thinking about this fake holiness, I believe this is why, one of the reasons why, other than the timing of God, but I do believe this is one of the reasons why the Pharisees couldn't truly see and understand who Jesus was. I really think they had so much faith in themselves that they were getting the law right. They had so much faith in themselves that they were, you know, making sure every T was crossed and every I was dotted, right? That they missed who Jesus was. They missed who was standing right in front of them, because their focus was on their holiness and how they had built up this great fake holiness. So what Jesus is calling us to is to lay down our kingdoms of me and the holy costumes that we've made on our own and allow his holiness to be worked and created in our lives. You see, when our hearts line up, when our hearts submit, then true holiness will be produced in our lives. Right? Then and only then can we truly be holy. Okay, so with this, Peter challenges us to be holy, or excuse me, he challenges us to not be conformed, to stop living as we were, right? That he challenges us to be holy, not just act holy. And then thirdly, he goes into this dynamic of brotherly love. Okay, how does that work? Like, how do we go from being holy to loving our brother, right? Well, let's read verses 22 and 23. He says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. You know, as I was reading along, you know, I was just cruising along. I'm like, okay, I've got holiness. I understand that dynamic. And then Peter kind of flips and he says, now love your brother. Right? And then he flips back, if you keep reading in chapter 2, he goes back into talking about being holy. And so you know, as I was praying about this and looking this, you know, the reason I think the challenge is here, ending this particular portion on holiness, is because it's very tempting that once holiness is being produced and worked in our lives, that we quickly can start identifying in other brothers and sisters where they're falling short, right? And we can quickly fall into the trap of being sin police, right? We can put the woo, yeah, right? The buzzer on top of our head and start identifying. I realize I'm being a little silly, but we can. And our holiness should never, ever be something we use to elevate ourselves over someone else,
right?
Or because we are to be holy, it does not mean that we are better than our brother and sister. Okay? He says here in verse 23, this didn't happen because of our perishable seed, but rather our being born again is an act of God. So even the holiness in our lives, guess what? We can't take credit for it. We can't take credit for it. As followers of Jesus, yes, we are to help each other, right? Iron sharpens iron. Yes, we are to hold each other accountable. Absolutely. Absolutely. But the problem then is how we approach it and how we deal with it, right? If we start, you know, talking, you know, if we see something an issue, a sinful situation, and we were like, okay, well, I've got to deal with this, and we handle it very, very pridefully or very arrogantly or however we may handle it, okay? If it's not done in the context of brotherly love, okay, then we need to stop. We need to change the way we're doing it, okay? If you do see a situation in someone's life that speaks of sin or that is unholy, okay, there's two things with this. The best thing to do is first ask Holy Spirit what to do and pray for that person. Okay? That's the best thing you can do. Is if you see something, a situation, you're like, man, you know, that is going to end in destruction. You know, I want to help that person. Best thing you can do is stop and ask Holy Spirit to what to do. Pray and ask for direction. Right? Now, the worst thing you can do is get all cocky and start telling everyone what that person has done. Right? Or start having this attitude of, well, they're sinning, they need to be dealt with. Right? Now, if someone is sinning, we need to help them. We need to come alongside them, and we do need to bring discipleship. Absolutely. I absolutely agree. But we can easily flip to this dynamic and idea of accusing. And who is named the accuser of the brethren?
Satan.
So if we're operating as an accuser rather than as a brother in love,
that's right.
Then we're not operating as in our true identity of holiness. So Peter is challenging us here in the context of holiness to handle our brothers and sisters with love. And that means we have their best interest at heart, not just to make ourselves look good. Okay? So tonight we see God is calling us again to lay down our kingdoms of me and surrender to his kingdom. Right? If we're still living as we did prior to coming to Jesus, we do need to stop being conformed to the world. If we're only acting holy and not actually being holy, we need to surrender to Jesus and allow him to produce true holiness in our lives. And we're called in our holiness to humbly love our brother and sister. You see, holiness is simply being set apart for God, right? From everything else to God and nothing else. And this is what he's calling us to. This is what he wants all of us to be set apart solely for him. So tonight, as we go back into worship, there's maybe a couple of ways that we can respond tonight. Maybe you're here and you've never turned your life over to Jesus, okay? Maybe you're here and that's where you would start, surrendering your life to Jesus, okay? And to do that, all you need to simply do is just come before him and say, Jesus, here I am. I've sinned. I need your grace and your mercy. I need your forgiveness. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you took my place. Come and be Lord of my life, right? That's how it begins, right? That's how it begins. So if that's you during worship, you can do that. Or maybe you've tried to be a holy person, right? Maybe you've put on a nice show. Maybe you were raised in church, right? I was raised in church growing up, right? I remember rolling under the pew and seeing the gum stick to the bottom of the pew seat and, you know, trying to peel it off. I was there. Okay? I was raised in church. Maybe you've just put on a nice, you know, a nice Christian costume all your life. Maybe you've never really submitted to Jesus. Okay, well, if that's you, you can start there tonight. Or maybe you're here and you're a believer, but you know that there is obvious sin in your life, and maybe you've been hiding it. Okay? Maybe there is sin tonight. I would encourage you tonight to deal with it. I would encourage you to bring it to Jesus, repent, right, which is us turning from it, right, and walking the opposite direction, and asking him to wash us and cleanse us. And guess what? His word says that he is faithful and just to cleanse us and forgive us from all unrighteousness when we confess our sin. So maybe you're here and you need to turn your life over to Jesus. Maybe you're here, you are a believer and you're hiding sin. Or maybe you're here and the area you need to give to Jesus is how you love your brother or sister. Okay? Maybe you need to ask Holy Spirit to come and search your heart concerning how you love your brother or sister, okay? Maybe you've taken your holiness and used it as a platform to accuse instead of a heart to bring healing and restoration, okay? So maybe you're here tonight and that's your situation. You know, the beautiful thing about this is Scripture is clear. If we confess our sin, as we just said, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray.